I'm Ricky Bevington, host of All Things Considered on 88.5 GPB Atlanta. Every now and then, I like to get out of the studio and into the community to see what stories Atlantans have to tell. For this edition of Atlanta Considered, I went to Chrome Yellow Trading Company on Edgewood Avenue during the A3C Hip Hop Festival and Conference. A3C is one of the nation's largest urban music events and stands for all three coasts, as Atlanta joins New York and LA as the pillars of hip-hop culture. Here's some highlights. And good Friday to you, broadcasting live tonight from the A3C Hip Hop Festival on Edgewood Avenue, just east of downtown Atlanta. Music is a big player in Atlanta's economy. The Georgia music industry employs 20,000 people with an annual impact of nearly $4 billion. For more than three decades, Atlanta producers and artists have been churning out international hits like Criss Cross's Jump, Lil Jon's Get Low, and 2 Chainz' I'm Different.
I'm different, yeah, I'm different. Pull up to the scene with my ceiling missing.
Coming up on the show, I'm going to be speaking with Shanti Das about being a woman in the male-dominated genre of rap and hip-hop. You can check out gpb.org/A3C for more impressive facts about Atlanta's music industry. And if you haven't heard of A3C, it is one of the nation's largest urban music industry events. 30,000 people are expected in Atlanta over the course of this week and weekend. And starting in less than an hour, right here on Edgewood, 12 artists, including Rick Ross, are going to be performing here. Broadcasting live from Edgewood Avenue, this is 88.5 GPB Atlanta. Since hip-hop first got its start in 1973, two cities were the main players in driving its style and its sound. On the East Coast, there was New York. On the West Coast, there was LA. Atlanta is now home to many of hip-hop's current and former stars, making it the third coast in A3C's All Three Coasts moniker. GPB's Stephen Fowler reports on the rise of Atlanta hip-hop.
As the East Coast-West Coast rivalry came to a head in 1995, a duo from Atlanta named Outkast managed to win Best New Rap Group at the Source Awards. While the New York heavy crowd booed, Andre 3000 grabbed the award and took the audience to task.
But it's like this, though. I'm tired of folks, you know what I'm saying? The closed-minded folks, you know what I'm saying? It's like we got a demo tape and don't nobody want to hear, but it's like this, the South got something to say. That's all I got to say.
Hip-hop made its way into Atlanta before then, with artists like Kilo Ali, MC Shy-D, and Raheem the Dream producing their own take on popular Miami bass music. And Arrested Development even won 2 Grammys in 1993 for their song, Tennessee. But it was Outkast's album, Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music, that brought the ATL-ian funk into the picture. Atlanta's sound was in direct contrast with the gangster rap of the day, pioneered by the West Coast Tupac and the East Coast Notorious B.I.G. After both stars were murdered within the next few years, it was time for the new sound of the city nicknamed the Dirty South to step up. Atlanta found its footing over the next few years when record labels like LaFace and So Def perfected the success of funky, soulful hip-hop like Outkast and Goody Mob. Mixing in elements of hip-hop, R&B, and pop, the Atlanta sound of the 90s began to dominate popular radio stations around the country, thanks to artists like TLC, Usher, and Ciara. Lil Jon and the East Side Boys kicked off the early 2000s by making the entire nation dance to Atlanta's music. They accomplished that thanks to a style called crunk, which features up-tempo, bass-heavy music with party-focused lyrics. This marked the beginning of commercial success of Southern hip-hop becoming accepted into popular culture. A prime example of that acceptance is the song Yeah, performed by Usher, Ludacris, and Lil Jon. Not only did it win a Grammy for Best Collaboration, but it made it to the top of the charts in 14 different countries, including ranking number 2 on Billboard's Hot 100 Decade chart. Let's go. In the club with my homies, trying to get a little VI. By the late 2000s, even the New York Times noted Atlanta had shifted from the margins to becoming hip-hop's center of gravity, thanks to a crop of homegrown artists like Gucci Mane, whose songs kicked off a new era of rappers bragging about their wealth. You'd be hard-pressed to find a popular song that hasn't been performed or produced by an Atlanta artist, though this year's top hit is done by Brooklyn's Designer. With lyrics, sound, and a cadence that blatantly imitates one of Atlanta's superstar performers, Future. Designer, by the way, has never even set foot in the state.
Panda, panda, panda. I got broads in Atlanta. Just to be in the family. Credit cards in the scammers.
So with a New York artist copying Atlanta style, we've come full circle from that night in 1995. Atlanta's journey from a city of silence to hip-hop heaven didn't happen overnight, but it also shows no sign of slowing down. Radio stations across the country give love to the city, and every day it seems like a new artist is elevated to a household name, whether it's the whip and nay-nay of Silento or the sounds of Gwinnett County trio Migos. As long as there are people listening, the South continues to have something to say. For GPB News, I'm Stephen Fowler in...
Find out more stories about Atlanta hip-hop at gpb.org/A3C. I'm Ricky Bevington, broadcasting live from Edgewood Avenue on 88.5 GPB Atlanta. We are live at Chrome Yellow Trading Company.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in the air. I'm on it. 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 I'm on it.
Atlanta native Shanti Das launched her career in the early 90s with Atlanta-based LaFace Records, promoting local artists including Outkast, Goody Mob, Usher, and TLC. She joined me this week in the studio explaining Atlanta's entrance onto the international hip-hop stage.
Man, the scene was so thick. Low riders, 77 Sevilles, Air Dogs.
So growing up as a child in Atlanta, Georgia, we always looked to the Northeast or to the West Coast for our hip hop. And so what happened in the early 90s is you had these two little kids from East Point, Georgia, Andre 3000 and Big Boy, who formed a group called Outkast. And for the first time for the kids living in the Atlanta area, we felt like we had something to hold on to. It wasn't about putting on that New York Yankees hat. We now saw Big Boy wearing an Atlanta Braves hat or talking about Hedlund and DeLo, which were iconic streets in East Point. And our city is being kind of put up on this pedestal. And we thought, you know what? This is our sound. They are crafting a unique sound specific to Atlanta with references that we can all relate to.
Is there a song that you think represents the beginning of that Southern sound?
Players Ball, by far, which is the first record that I worked when I got hired at LaFace Records, and it was actually a Christmas record. We ended up servicing that record to DJs in Atlanta, and it really caught on. So they went back into the studio and removed the Christmas references, and it ended up being their first single off the debut album, Southern Playlist of Catholic Music.
That's how it is.
So that was the early part of your career, but
yes.
As you came up the corporate ladder in the music industry, mm-hmm. did you see other women being promoted and advancing with you, or were you really alone?
No, I wasn't alone. There were other females that I looked up to in the entertainment industry, particularly some of the African American women. Unfortunately, I don't feel like I had a lot of those women as my mentors. I cannot say that there weren't any women paving the way, but I just think a lot of the men had to open up some doors for me for whatever reasons.
Do you see more women coming up now in the industry than back then?
I think the industry has shrunk, and so I don't think there are as many opportunities for women. And now, as you see the industry shifting, right, it's more technology-based, and the business model has changed for the entertainment industry, and so maybe we'll see more women rise in tech.
I'm in savage mode. Wow. I'm in savage mode. Wow. I'm in savage mode. Wow. I'm in savage mode. Wow.
A3C calls itself hip hop's family reunion.
Yes.
A wide range of music styles are represented this week, from overtly violent lyrics of East Atlanta native 21 Savage, and then to another Atlanta native, Speaker Fox. I guess I would put her more in the instrumental remixes. She's a DJ producer. Do you think it's appropriate to fit all of these different styles under this hip-hop label?
I think that's something that will probably be debated until the end of time. Hip-hop has evolved, obviously, from being born in the Bronx, you know, New York, and it was more about, you know, the lifestyle with, you know, beatboxing and DJing and dancing and rhyming. You know, it's disheartening to see so much of the degradation still be there for women. And I got to tell you, it's tough. I'm not for censorship. You know, I believe in freedom of speech and people being able to express themselves, especially in music. But I just feel like it's not enough balance there. And we're all very different and very complex. And we share different beliefs and faiths. And we have we've been exposed, you know, to different things. And so it's very complex. And you can't put hip hop in a box.
Well, Shanti Das, it has been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. Same here. I could talk all day with you.
Shanti Das is an urban music industry veteran and speaker at this week's A3C Hip Hop Festival and Conference. Broadcasting live from the festival this Friday evening from Edgewood Avenue, this is 88.5 GPB Atlanta.
Peace up, A-Town down.
I'm at Chrome Yellow Trading Company, just a few blocks from the main festival stage where performers are about to go on. A3C stands for All Three Coasts because Atlanta is the third coast of rap music, along with New York and Los Angeles. Hip-hop, rap, R&B, they are major players in Atlanta's image on the world stage. Local artists have made Atlanta famous, rapping about their hometown, like Jermaine Dupri's Welcome to Atlanta, Young Jocks' It's Going Down, and Purple Ribbon All-Stars' Kryptonite.
Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play, and we ride on them things like every day.
Ask a million questions like, Jock, where you stay? Tell them college ball, where the chop call?
If you want me, you can find me in the A. I'm on it, 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 I'm on it.
And possibly the most famous Atlanta landmark cited in urban music is Bankhead. That's a West Side neighborhood name for the highway that runs through it. Remember the Bankhead Bounce?
What's up, what's up? What's up with the Bankhead Bounce? Shout it, shout it. What's up? What's up with the Bankhead Bounce? Shout it, shout it. What's up, what's up? What's up with the Bankhead Bounce? Shout it, shout it. Ain't nothing, ain't nothing. Ain't nothing but the Bankhead Bounce. Shout it.
Atlanta's presence in the hip-hop scene has been well-established for many years, with the likes of Outkast, Ludacris, Soulja Boy making the city's artists into household names. Even if you know hip-hop, you may not know this name, Cam Kirk. GPB's Stephen Fowler went to downtown Atlanta to learn more about Kirk and how hip-hop looks from behind the lens.
Across the room from me is an unassuming figure. He doesn't smile and doesn't frown. His outfits are impeccable, but never ostentatious. Across the street is Magic City, Atlanta's most iconic strip club. But we sit in a simple red brick studio. Where others may see unassuming eyes, he sees the new generation of art and artistry. That's because Cam Kirk is Atlanta's unofficial hip-hop documentarian, and his photos of artists have helped reshape the conversation around hip-hop's image. His work, he says, has a deeper purpose than glorifying drugs or money or women or even just taking pictures.
I know it's a strong statement. I don't even say it's far-fetched, but it's a deep goal to try to change the perception that hip-hop has as a whole.
The goal is evident even in the shortest conversation with Kirk, real name Cameron Kirkland. The 27-year-old is not from Atlanta, but the ties to this city are strong.
Atlanta completely changed my way of thinking, my way of life, my path, everything about me is a direct influence of Atlanta.
It's also where he has quickly and quietly gained fame for taking photos that portray people who happen to be hip-hop artists, and not the other way around. Walking through his studio hallway, we pass by some of his favorite images. All of these photos are intimate, personal, and counter to many stereotypes portrayed about hip-hop today.
So this one right here is actually a photo of Big Boi. I actually was able to take it at his Pitbull breeding and place that he sells these dogs. This is another one of those moments where this isn't really Big Boi. Like, this is him. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's Antoine looking at something that he's loved, and, you know, outside of music, and it shows that other side of him.
Thanks to his calm, relaxed demeanor, the other side of artists is Kirk's specialty. It's allowed him to capture moments that very few people get to see.
I never like to disrupt a moment. I like to capture a moment and not necessarily create a moment by me telling an artist what to do and do this and do that and do this and do that. So because of that, I was able to build a trust with certain artists early on, certain artists that didn't really have trust for a lot of people.
One example of that came in May of 2015 when Kirk turned heads by converting an old church into an interactive trap house homage to the then-jailed Gucci Mane.
I would say like 99% of the photos I've ever taken of Gucci prior to his arrest, he had absolutely no idea I took a picture of him. So, well, that's why I like to call those pictures more so pictures of Roderick Davis than Gucci Mane.
Despite that success, Kirk has stayed true to his personality and true to the photos he takes. He has his own studio, yes, but it's not there for personal gain or stature. John Rose is one of Kirk's managers. He shares that Cam Kirk Studios is designed to create opportunities for more young photographers to have the same opportunities that Kirk did.
He's making just intentional investments into his community, and a lot of it is for the fact that people paved the way for him. Right? And he's trying to do that now for our culture and our generation.
One of the first beneficiaries is Keenan Littman, Kirk's assistant and photographer, who's learned more than just photography being around him and is eager to give back to the community.
I'm definitely looking forward to people coming in and saying they created their project here out of the Cam Kirk studio.
Speaking of the studio, Kirk says it represents the culmination of late nights, hard work, and the many breaks given to him by others.
All of that paved the way for me to be able to finally say I have my own place in Atlanta, Georgia, and I have my own spot that I can now influence and inspire other photographers and creatives that are coming up. This space is everything to me.
He's about to go on tour with Gucci Mane as his official photographer and also led a panel at noon today at A3C. But at the end of the day, he's still Cam Kirk. For GPB News, I'm Stephen Fowler in Atlanta.
And this is 88.5 GPB Atlanta. I'm Ricky Bevington, broadcasting live from a rainy A3C Hip Hop Music Festival on Edgewood Avenue. A3C stands for All Three Coasts because Atlanta is the third coast where rap music has blossomed, along with New York and LA. In Atlanta, the highway and neighborhood named Bankhead became famous in 1995 with Kilo Ali's song Bankhead Bounce. In an interview last year, producer Jarvis King J. Raheem recounted the history of the Bankhead Bounce.
The song was not even mixed nor mastered. It was so popular at all the barrels in the zones in Atlanta, all the zones, zones 1, zone 6, zone 7, even in Gwinnett, the little kids knew about this song. They played it on the radio, and you could hear the hissing in it. Everybody could party with it. It was laboring the hip-hop as a side of a town that had a roughness to it, but at the same time, we was able to party with each other and forget all the who trap this was and whose side of town this was. Forget all that, just come and Bankhead Bounce, you know what I'm saying? And this my pinky, this my thumb, Bankhead Bounce, Donkey Kong.
That was Jarvis King J. Raheem telling me the history of the Bankhead Bounce. Thank you to Chrome Yellow Trading Company on Edgewood Avenue for allowing us to broadcast our show live. For more stories from this show, visit gpb.org/A3C. And be sure to follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Ricky Bevington.